Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Good evening, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. This is The Back Room, home of brand new music, indie, alternative, rock, electronic, punk. Every Thursday night, 6 till 7. Kicking off there with a new one from Pale Waves and Gravity from forthcoming album Smitten, October date in Sheffield also. Packed show for you tonight. As always, music news, local national gig guide, new album releases, and special guest tonight who will be Hi-Fi Sean and David McCallman, and they're going to be talking about their amazing new album called Daylight, which is out now. That's all coming up. This new from Nita Nesbitt, this is Anger.
Just can't shake it loose. It's like it hides somewhere in the darkness, and it comes out of the blue. Oh, you told me I'm not pretty when I swear. So I drove out down to the ocean just to scream out into the wind. There were kids with ice cream cones on the bike, so I smiled as I passed by them. Tried to kickbox somewhere so, but they said that I'm just too weak. Still I got this anger inside, and I can't seem to set it free. Oh my, my, take hold of my heart and set it free. Oh my, my, tear it all apart and let it be. 'Cause I've got this anger inside me, and it brings me to my
lower than that is Nina Nesbitt. Okay, let's talk about this band. This show is all about playing new artists, established artists. And this band, they are called Art Block. They are from East London. They're an indie old folk artist. And also the Marcus Hemlett, the synth player for acclaimed indie folk Bears Den, is on this. This follows on from The Ghost of a Wild Fox, a series of piano instrumentals, recording sessions of the famous Premises Studio in London. This is new from Art Block. This is Poorer Than Ever.
So crumpled, crumpled and worn.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Hey, this is Chris from Less Than Jake, and you are listening to Sheffield Live.
Yes!
New music on The Back Room. Future sounds.
Blondshell and What's Fair. Okay, time for guests then. Hi-Fi Sean, otherwise known as Sean Dixon, who is the frontman of indie band Superdragon's 80s and 90s, and David McCormont, who had a top 10 hit with Bernard Butler back in the 90s too. They are together. They have made an amazing album called Daylight with, seasonal albums, Daylight, the first one, and Twilight, which will be out on February the 14th next year. Talking to them straight after a track from the album, and this is Sun Come Up.
How close we get, how near we come.
shadow. It was warm in the sun. Those nights they are no longer isolated instances. I got Pluto in my solar system now, and my muse a flash, waiting for the sunshine while the rain. Every time witness sails to the dark, sun come up, sun.
So, welcome to Sean Dixon, Hi-Fi Sean, and David McCallum. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Pleasure to have you on. How are you both doing, guys?
Really good, Paddy. Nice to see you, even though we're only just meeting for the first time.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing good. We'll get to know each other a bit over the next few minutes. I just want to kick off, really. I suppose both you guys have been kind of in the music kind of industry for decades, really. You've been around kind of for a long time. How did you guys suddenly meet, think about meeting, met up, and then start collaborating together? How did that, where did that journey begin?
Well, I made an album in 2017 called FT, and the concept, because I hadn't made an album for 15 years, and to get me back into the swing of it, I thought of this concept of asking every track, asking somebody to make a track with me. And David was one of those people on the list. And the funny thing is, the list of the 12 people I had, actually everybody said yes. So I'm just kidding. I never had to go further than an add on to the list, which is kind of insane when I think back to it. But the problem is everybody kept picking the same songs because I never managed it very well. So I kept sending groups of tracks to people and everybody would pick the same song and I'm like, oh God, I'm not doing this very well. So but luckily David chose a track that nobody else chose, which was quite interesting, you know. Yeah, because I'd sent that track to a few other people, like as a kind of group of five songs, and nobody went near that track apart from you.
Interesting.
What took you near the track, David?
It made me think of outer space.
Yeah.
And that's kind of become a thing for us. There's a lot of us. There's a lot of astronomy in what we do.
I think it maybe comes from my background in the days of the Super Dragons because there's a lot of astronomy in that as well. So, I like floaty, spacey things.
Yeah.
And you can hear a lot of that in it, kind of in your music. You know, Happy Ending came out last year, and then obviously Daylight is out now. Part of kind of seasonal albums, two albums really. This is the first one, isn't it? And it does feel very, very summery. And I think we kind of need that at the moment because summer seems a bit lacking.
Well, actually, the day it came out was the hottest day of the year.
Really? Okay.
Last Friday, August the 16th, was the hottest day of the year. So we did okay. Maybe it was the hottest day of the year in London. I may have been down here because I just think the whole world's London, obviously, because I'm in London. But it was the hottest day of the year here. And it was a funny story because the album was supposed to come out about 6 weeks before it actually did come out, and we had to change the date. So if it had come out 6 weeks before, the weather was awful. I mean, it was like It was like autumn in the middle of summer. So I'm actually quite happy that when eventually it did come out, it was a glorious sunny day. But as somebody says, you know, somewhere in the world is sunny, just like so somebody's waking up and putting daylight on a sunny day.
Absolutely. Just not so much here at the moment. But that's okay. So in terms of, you know, the album, was it the album that you kind of were looking to make in terms of the sound? I mean, there's lots of sounds in there, and it's kind of a feel good album. Was that the idea, just to kind of get a really kind of dancey feel good album?
Yeah, Sean's a bit of a Duracell bunny when it comes to making music. He doesn't really stop. I mean, he says he's going to, but he doesn't. So there's always music. And I actually joked with somebody the other day. Well, I'm Sean's saying that we should just go on the road next year, but I know him. There will be music. But it always starts, you know, the music comes from Sean, and it's like Sean says, I'm thinking 3-minute bangers, and I'm thinking about two albums, one called Daylight, one called Twilight. And that's what happened with Happy Ending. We didn't use the title that we started with, but, you know, we knew what we were writing. And that's fantastic, because it means, okay, we're writing a summary album about called Daylight. So
sometimes having a concept gives you a kick up the ass as an artist, as a songwriter. I think I realised that when I done the FT album. To push me back into making records, I had to come up with a concept. So it gave me a goal to work on, which I've never, ever done before. I've never been conceptual with music before. And so then Happy Ending was a kind of a concept as well, a much looser concept. But this album, Daylight and Twilight, was 100% conceptual. It was also intense, because we basically wrote and recorded two albums in the space of 6 months, which is just insane. Some people take 3 years to make one album. We made two albums in 6 months, and they had to be as good as each other. And there was, you know, it wasn't a case of like, let's just make two albums. It was like, let's make two really amazing albums. And we took ourselves to the edge. I mean, I know I did. It's a bit weird, because at the moment, I feel quite down because it's all stopped, because it's just been for the last year, there's been this huge creative high.
Sure.
Writing and recording and sharing ideas backwards and forwards. And then it all just comes to a stop. And then you have to play it to people, which is usually the hardest bit when you have to play it to the rest of the world. And obviously, being on, you know, self-released, there's a lot of, I'm not going to use the SHIT word, but there's a lot of stuff goes on in the music industry you have to deal with, and a lot of new digital paraphernalia you have to deal with, which is just a nightmare. And sometimes you have to kind of separate them, but it's kind of hard for me, because I wake up every morning and I've got an inbox full of emails asking me things that I actually don't really know that much about, you know, like regarding Spotify and Apple Music and all that stuff. But every now and then I have to go a run, because, you know, that's what I keep myself sane these days. I go 5K three times a week. And I found myself listening to these two albums all the time. Some days I'll have, you know, because they're both 40 minutes long. So 5Ks is 40 minutes. So basically one day I'll run Daylight, and then the next day I'll run Twilight.
Amazing.
And it keeps me sane, because it makes me realise this is why we're doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like you've like worked incredibly hard on this. Where did you guys record it all? I suppose if you've kind of two albums in 6 months, how did you structure that? Did you like work it? Did you get some time off? How was it like working together?
Well, we did Daylight first. And did Twilight. So it wasn't like we were trying to make them intertwined, but there was ideas floating about between the two, but there was a definite okay, now we're doing Twilight. So it's been such a satisfying experience making these two albums.
I thought when we spoke about Twilight, I thought that Twilight was just going to be, you know, like an album of B-sides two Daylights A sides. That's what that's what I had in my head. And actually, that's quite a good idea.
Yeah,
we could do that kind of package later, Sean. We could have like the A side. The A side is Daylight, and the B side is Twilight, and do a 12 disc package. But I'm pitching. But when we did it, I was stunned by what happened with Twilight. I was like, oh my god, this is actually another album. It's not an addendum.
Yes.
You know, it's its own album, and that's really exciting. But we're here to talk about Daylight, so sorry for pitching into the future there, but you won't have long to wait.
Well, that's okay. It's good to hear about both. It's like the whole
and to be,
the
and whole to be honest, community, isn't it? So, yeah, to be honest, Twilight, when you hear Twilight, it makes more sense of Daylight. If that makes, I don't know, and that sounds complete nonsense at the moment because you're not Twilight. But when you hear Twilight, you suddenly realise that Daylight actually makes a lot more sense. And you know, when you hear them as two albums, I mean, I actually don't know if anybody's done this before because me and David talk about this a lot. There's a few things that we've done, and we kind of go, "Has anybody done this before?" Like with Happy Ending, we released the lyrics as a lyric book a month before the album. And we thought, okay, somebody must have done this. It's too good an idea that somebody's not done this. Nobody had ever done it before. Nobody had ever released the words a month before the music. Because we thought it'd be a really nice thing to introduce the words into people's world. So that when they hear the music, when they hear the album, they have like some kind of sense of like familiarity. Mm-hmm. So we did it with Daylight as well. We released the lyrics a month before, and we'll do it with Twilight as well. And yeah, we are officially the only artists that have ever released the words before the music. And I was talking to another artist friend of mine, and they said, "Oh my god, I'm going to do that." And I'm like, "No, you're not." But it'd be interesting to see if people start doing it, you know. But I'd like
I started something off here, Sean.
Yeah,
I'd like. It's a bit like our work ethic seems to be swimming against the tide a bit, which seems which surprises me because I've seen a lots of artists seem to be prolific. You know, the fans want more, and the artists are back, and that's what Sean and I are doing. But actually, there are people who are like very surprising forces, is like saying slow down. But it's like, well, why would you?
Yeah,
you know, because fans ask you whenever you see them, they say, "Is there anything new coming up?" And it's always quite crestfallen to say, "Well, sorry, not at the moment." But to say yes seems to be a bit of a challenge for the tastemakers these days.
And we're also going against the model of the whole thing because, you know, you get told, well, we can't get you any interviews in these certain newspapers or magazines because it was only 11 months ago you released an album. And then it's like when Twilight comes out, it'll be 6 months between the second and third album. So there's no chance of us getting written about because it doesn't fit into the model that most people release an album and then it's 2 years before they release the next album. So it's there seems to be in the music industry and in media and PR that there's all these boxes that have to be ticked, and if you don't tick them, you fall aside. So all you can do is against it and just do you pray that the music will speak for itself, and I think quite clearly in the last week this album has spoke for itself. I'm seeing people post it on social media who don't even know us. They don't, you know, they're like, "Oh my god, I've heard this album, it's really great, check it out." And the great thing is people sharing it with a friend saying, "You should check this out." That's how music gets discovered these days. You know, and instead of us trying to sell ourselves all the time on social media, it's nice other people doing it for us.
Yeah, kind of word of mouth stuff. And, and you, excuse me, and you've been, you know, you have been kind of making music for a long time, so you've seen all the changes. You've seen the changes, the way the industry, the changes, how to get music out there. And it seems like you're always, you know, pushing those boundaries and forward thinking, regardless of what's coming at you, and just trying to do something different.
Well, I can't speak for Sean, but I was pretty sure that I was done with it. I mean, I had found I work at university, and I was doing these songbook shows, and it was okay. And I mean, I've never really been the driver in terms of, like, you know, getting the record together. I'm a really good responder. You know, someone says, "Here, what do you think of this?" And I'll say, "Okay, great." And they say, "Do you want to write to that?" And I say, "Yeah, I'll do that." So that's been pretty standard. But I don't know what's going on. because I haven't been paying attention. I thought I was done. And so many things that have happened since we've been together have been super annoying, because it's like, you know, I thought I was done with that. Okay. But it's, and in many ways, it seems to be worse now because the competition is so fierce. I mean, we've been really lucky to be played on the radio at all. We've had some great support at Six Music, and really appreciate it, because there are dozens of bands who just aren't getting that look in at all. Mm. Yeah. So we're doing something right, but at the same time, there's the social media thing. People look at your social media numbers to decide whether they should play you or not, and there's all of that going on. So you have to work on your Instagram, you have to work on your Facebook, you have to work on your X. And it's like, you know, that's all new to me, because I've been out of it for like 10 years or something.
I'm quite exhausted thinking about all that stuff as well, on top of everything else. So you got a tour coming up as well. Let's talk about that. You're gonna be going out. You're gonna be playing this record. So before Twilight comes out, you're gonna be playing Daylight. I think in November. You've got a couple of dates, not Sheffield, but a couple of dates near here. I think Leeds, Porto on the 14th, Manchester Night and Day on the 17th. How are you feeling about just going out and, you know, playing, getting this record out, playing it on the stage? You know, and what would that look like when you play it, do you think?
I'm feeling very grown up, because it's not like it used to be. I can't go on stage, do a full set, get on the tour bus, spend the night drinking, pass out at six, wake up hoarse, and then go on stage and do it again. I just don't have that ability anymore. So this is probably, this is going to be my first sober tour. I can't.
Okay.
Like, keep it clean, keep the pipes.
And Sean, are you sharing that as well?
I don't know, I might have the odd little tipple, but I really enjoy us playing live, which is funny, because the live aspect of being in a band was always the thing that I was, you know, it's obvious that I love making records and producing and studio stuff, but I really enjoy us live, because David's got a great rapport with the audience, and because of his rapport, I have a great rapport with the audience. So we're a bit of a double act on stage when we get going.
It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of we're seasoned, but still kind of have that sparkle in our eyes about it all. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Guys, thanks so much for talking to me today. Daylight is out. Twilight's going to be out, I think, February next year.
February the 14th.
Valentine's Day, Twilight.
It's an album for late night lovers.
Yeah. Hey, are you going to get an impersonator? We used the Barry White impersonator to do the Take It Slow-Mo on Celebrate, and I think we need to get him to do that.
Yes,
I think you should.
It'd be like a trailer.
Definitely. If you've got Daylight coming out on the hottest day of the year, you've got Twilight coming out on Valentine's Day.
Hopefully not the coldest day of the year.
Fantastic.
Perfect. Good luck with the tour as well. Yeah, great, great record. Thanks for speaking to me today.
Thank you, Paddy. Thank you for all the support.
Lovely to meet you. Thank you.
You're very well.
Take care. Thank you. Come in. Can I come?
By Sean and David McCormont for talking to me tonight. That is another track from Daylight album that is called Coalition. Daylight is out now, and as I said when I was talking to them, they are going to be playing Leeds Porto 14th of November, Manchester Nightingale on the 17th. Go and check them out. Okay, 6:39, you're listening to The Back Room. It's Sheffield Live 93.2 FM, and we've got music news very, very shortly after a new one from Public Service Broadcasting. Have a new album out, 4th of October, The Last Flight, and a tour. This, new from them, The Fun of It.
Wherever I am in the world, people always ask me, why do you do it? Why risk your life? My answer is always the same. I do it because I want to. I do it for the fun of it.
public service broadcasting there. It's 6:43. Let's do some music news.
Music news.
The Glastonbury Festival legendary annual thank you fundraiser gig for villagers, workers and local people, known as the Pilton Party, returns to Worthy Farm on the 6th September. The event, which was first held in 1984, celebrates its 40th anniversary with the headline set from the Libertines, plus performances from CMAT and local sports, alongside DJs Pat Mundo and Baggy Mondays. Pilton Party, which takes place on an open-air stage close to where Woodseas is located during Glastonbury, has previously seen appearances from acts including the Stone Roses, Coldplay, Massive Attack, Catatonia, Fatboy Slim, Plan B, Liam Gallagher, Rudimental, Wolf Alice, Placebo, Pastille, The Streets and Falls. Tickets are £45, for adults £20, for children. And there's no escaping this news, which was announced. Oasis are back. After years of rumour and speculation, and we've talked about it so many probably years on this show, about what Liam said, what Noel said, in all these guises of Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, in terms of BDI, in terms of Liam Gallagher's solo career, talked about for years, and they've said they're back. They've announced this massive UK and Ireland stadium tour for 2025. They announced on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Oasis Live 25, 14 stadium dates set to take place between Cardiff, Manchester, London, Edinburgh and Dublin next summer. And these were the band's only shows in Europe in 2025. But a press release states that plans are underway to go to other continents outside of Europe later next year. There's a new photo of them side by side, taken by Simon Emmett. They've also shared a short statement about burning the hatchet following the very public feud that rose from the band split in 2009. They've said the guns have fallen and silent, the stars have aligned, the great wait is over. Come see, it will not be televised. Those tickets go on sale Saturday, 8 o'clock. They've got some pre-sales things, but I think that might have closed by now. I mean, so many people can get them in the pre-sale as well, I'm pretty sure. The dates are July the 4th, Cardiff Principality Stadium, and the 5th there too. Manchester Heat and Park on the 11th, 12th, 19th and 20th. London Wembley Stadium on the 25th and 26th of July, and the 2nd and 3rd of August. Edinburgh Moorfield Stadium on the 8th and 9th, and Dublin Croke Park on the 16th. And 17th. The band have not yet revealed who'll be in the rest of the lineup. However, there is talk that Bonehead could be there. And they reportedly set to make a colossal $400 million. It comes as the band released the expanded issue of their 1994 debut album, Definitely Maybe, tomorrow, as it celebrates its 30th anniversary the day before. The re-release comes with a previously unheard and abandoned version from the Mono Valley session for the album, as well as outtakes from the Sawmill sessions, both mixed by Noel for the first time. So let's play a track from that, from the Mono Valley recordings. This is Oasis. This is Up in the Sky.
Up in the sky, learning to fly, tell me how high.
So they're back. Oasis. Exciting to have them back, actually. I mean, the hype starts now. It's another year until they play. But who knows? They might do some warm-ups. They might do some small gigs. Who knows what's going to happen? But there's going to be lots and lots of conversations about it over the next year. Okay, I'm going to talk about some gigs in a couple of minutes. But first, going to talk about this artist, Indoor Foxes from Glasgow. She's announced a new single, Church Music, which is out tomorrow from a forthcoming EP, Sadolescence. She's inspired by the likes of Wolf Harris, Paramore, Phoebe Bridgers, and Frightened Rabbit. So check this out. This is Indoor Foxes. Loving that. That is Indoor Foxes and Church Music. Okay, let's do some gigs now.
Local and national gig guide.
So, coming up this weekend, well, from now, tonight, Richard Hawley, The Coral, Divine Comedy down at Don Valley Bowl. Then tomorrow, Becky Hill, Joel Corry, ADMT, Don Valley Bowl. This is all the rock and roll circus stuff. Saturday, you got Milburn with the Bedroom High Club, Jake Bug, The Select, The Rifle, Seb Lowe, and Gia Ford. Then on Tuesday, Bootleg Beatles at the Lead Mill. And on Wednesday, Plantoid and Normal Village at the Hallamshire Hotel. Faithless have announced a tour 6th of November, kicking off in Newcastle. Then go to Birmingham on the 7th, the London Brits Academy on the 14th, Manchester Victoria Warehouse on the 15th. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow
at 10 o'clock. Kasabian play Birmingham Resorts World Arena on the 8th of November, London O2 on the 15th of November, Manchester Co-op Live on the 16th of November. Those tickets are on sale now and the streets are supporting. And Crawlers have announced some dates: Manchester Gorilla on the 3rd of December, Manchester Birmingham Institute 2 on the 6th of December, and London Tufnell Park Dome on the 7th of December. And those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Okay, this guy is called Ben Walker. He's from Glasgow. He supported Hugh Morgan, The View, Twin Atlantic cast, bands like that. He is going to go out on tour next year in February, playing Glasgow, Leeds, London, Manchester, Newcastle. This is a new track from him. This is Lose It All. Check this out.
I just never moved on. But I get so frustrated that I'll never learn, and I can barely hold on. Spent a couple of years in your bed, I lost a couple more sins in my head, and I just know I won't be leaving just yet.
Ben Walker, loving that track, that's great. Okay, some albums out tomorrow. Last Dinner Party, debut album, Preload to XD, that is out. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Wild God, and Wonder Horse, and Midas. Thanks to Hi-Fi Sean, David McCormont for talking to me on the show. Daylight, their album is out now. And my guests next week to tune in for will be Giant Killers, who have managed to release their debut album 30 years later from the 90s. This is Around the Blocks, and a play out with this. So yeah, be chatting to them next week and playing loads of great new music. Have a good evening.
Won't get it to me. Hope the cat will come home in one piece. And in the streets where you first kiss to be inside the house you wish. But mum and dad are not allowing this. So drink the sacred lager, kid. It makes you sick, so do the six. But you know you love them in the end. In the end.